You know, that's true. We are the ones that do the forgetting. I would ask your close attention, your prayers. I think that our brother Hugh can do a pretty good job of speaking to us. But how much we get from it depends on ourselves. How much attention, how much our prayers, how sincere they are, that the Lord will give him the words to speak, and then that we will hear them. Hear them by the Spirit. Brother Hubert.
Thank you, Brother Harold. I can see right now I got him fooled already. Brother Hubert can't do a good job of anything. Unless there's two people that stand before you. That's the individual who is occupying this podium, and the Spirit of God must stand with them. For they can't speak, nor deliver, nor bring anything to mind of worth if it's not done by the power of God. And it sure is a lonesome feeling sometimes when you know that you're going to occupy, and you feel like that sometimes you're going to have to maybe occupy by yourself because you just can't seem to get a hold of a subject. You pray about it, and you pray about it, and then when the subject comes, it's a relief to you. It's really a relief. And you know that you must stand in the corner of God, and for him and for his word. The things I want to bring to you this evening, it's a little bit different than Brother Hausnick's. It's something I'm sure that you've heard before, and I hope you hear again. And I hope we hear again many times, because it's those things that are very essential to the welfare of our soul. It's something that would make us excited. It's something that would make us happy and joyous. It's something that would give us a relief and peace of mind and of heart. It's something that could give us fear and much worry and much heartache. Depending on how it's used in our life, depending on how it's active within us, depending on the type of ear that we listen with to hear, and how we use the word. And that's what I'm going to talk on this evening, is the word. You know, the word has many definitions, and if you was to look in a dictionary, why, my goodness, there's a hard place to find a stop, because it goes on and on and on and on and on. Yet we know that word is it's a sound. It's those things that are put together. Letters and sounds that is used in communication. It's used to communicate with the children of men. It's used to communicate one with another. It's used, that word is used, or words is used to communicate with God. It's used to lift people up and to give them joy and happiness and to give them relief of heart and of mind. Is used sometimes in a bitter way. It's used in happy ways, in sadness and in gladness. It's used in every type of manner known unto man, this word. And the scriptures call to sometimes, they have a use for it, they call it logos, which means the Son of God. And of course, the word that I'm going to speak of this morning, this evening, would be of the Son of God. It would be of those things which He has caused to be written that you and I might be able to more fully understand and communicate with God. That communication between man and God would be there with power and with strength. That we would know that there is at the disposal of the children of men an avenue, a vehicle by which one can travel to reach and to approach the one who is responsible for their very creation. The one is responsible for their thoughts of heart and of mind and the ability of free agency to think and to ponder and to weigh subjects and matters. The one who has given the ability to either accept or reject the Word, yet has sought to it through His miraculous power, through the weaknesses in the flesh of the children of men through the dispensations of time, to have penned for the edification of the children of men the word of life, the word of peace and of joy and serenity in the hearts of the children of men, a word that sets a foot on the path to righteousness, a word that whispers out of the dust and speaks unto the hearts of the children of men and verifies as witness the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A word that whists and whispers to the ears of those who will listen, as a conscience would speak to lead and to direct and to motivate a heart and a mind to establish a thought upon the God that created them, to renew and to bring to them in that still small voice the word of deliverance from a sin-sick world, a world of deliverance in the power of the Son of the living God, even Jesus Christ. That word that has whispered to the children of men from the beginning of time, that has made from little weaklings and frail things, things that are mighty and strong, that made from things that were fearful and afraid, of great valor, of great courage, of those who are downtrodden, of mighty hope, those who have approached an understanding, an uplifting of the heart and of mind, that it says their hearts even burn within them. That word that gives vision to the eyes of the children of men, the word that gives within them that understanding that there was a God, a Son, and a way unto life for the children of men if they would lay hold of that word with a grip and with a strength and hold fast unto it. It's a word that tells us and whispers to us of the histories of the yesterdays, that we can be edified of things that happened and of the workings of God among the children of men of the days that were behind us, that we can look back and see what He did. It's the Word that speaks with power and authority of today, that edifies the hearts and the minds of the children of men, that says, "Come unto Me, read My prophecy and know that I am. Understand and believe. Set your feet in the path of righteousness. Know that I am here." The word that says, "Ah, ye who are seeking and those who are knocking, listen unto the voice of He who is mighty to save. And listen to the voice that whispers to the ears of the unborn days of tomorrow that edifies those things that shall come to pass. That the children of men doesn't have to approach the oncoming future with blindness of eyes, but they can approach the future with an understanding that is given of God for the children of men. They can approach the future with a hope that's within them, knowing that there is a deliverance in the power of God and the salvation for those who would yield to and be submissive to that word of God, and to listen and to walk after and to hear and to cherish and to love and recognize it as a gem of great worth given unto the children of men by the power of God through His Holy Son. That which enlightens the hearts of the children of men and gives them a strength and a courage to be boisterous and to speak out for the God that they believe in. To be ready to testify why they have the hope that was within them. To speak forth even in great trials and tribulations unto multitudes of people, and to bear record of those things that they know to be true. Now, how do you know that they're true? You know that they're true because you verify them by the Spirit of God that comes to those who knock and seek. You know they are true because you verify them by the evidence of those things has been fulfilled as the prophecy has delivered unto the children of men by the power of God. You see the evidence of that word. Each day that you hear the news, you see the evidence of that word in our history, and we see the preparedness of the evidence of that word that shall not come back unto him void in the unborn days of tomorrow if we're awake and alert. If we have a vision that is given to us by the power of God through those things which he has caused to be written to edify us, we begin to see. We begin to see through Him and through His Holy Spirit, we begin to see the walk of life that's required for the children of men. We begin to see the deliverance and from whence it comes, and recognize it as a power within the lives of the children of men who possess it. A power that can't be taken away unless that individual, you or I, are willing to turn loose and turn loose the grasp of that power of that word. Otherwise it can't be snuffed out within your life and your heart. Only you can blow it out like you would a candle by turning it loose. And so when you go to the word, your heart does begin to burn within you. You begin to recognize the love of the Almighty God and the children of men. And how earnestly, over the times and the generations, He has reached out with His voice of words to draw the hearts and the souls unto Him, that He might draw all men unto Him. That's why the words have been penned for our edification. And I'd like to start in the first chapter of St. John this evening, beginning in the first verse. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Yes, indeed. God is the Word, which definition is Creator. And the Scriptures tell us that Christ was with God before the foundation of the world. And yet, though He was the Word and the Son of God, yet He was the God of this earth and heavens and all things in them by, because He created them. And in the beginning He was with the Father. It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In that Word that was with God in the beginning is life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. You know, we can walk in the light and yet be blind. Unless we want to see. You know, we have the lights on in this room, and every one of you, if you don't think you can't do that, just for an example, everybody here, just for a moment, close your eyes. What do you see? Nothing. You know, we can walk in the light and the light have no effect if we don't have a desire to open our eyes and see. And we can walk and brush elbows and walk in the period of time that God has extended His arm unto the children of men and that Spirit to move and to bless and to give edification and not be receptive to such if we want to walk with our eyes closed, if we want to shut our eyes to the truth. If we want to shut our eyes to the truth, we can shut them and not see that light, though the light be all around us. And you know, the light is all around us because God and Jesus Christ is ever placed on this earth where somebody is reaching out to Him with an honest heart and mind. He's here. He's here. If we want to open up our eyes, or if the children of men want to open up their eyes to see, that Word, that edification, that causes a joy and a happiness within the children of men. It is here and at the disposal of the children of men if they would but seek and desire. If they would but seek and desire. If they would want to walk in that light, seeing and recognizing it. In Him is a life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I want you to take notice about that light. That light was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't recognize Him as the Creator of heavens and earth. They didn't recognize Him as the Son of the living God. They didn't recognize Him as the Savior of their soul. They didn't recognize Him as the one who could deliver the peace of mind and of heart and soul to the children of men. Though He created them, though He created the earth and He was with them, yet they could not comprehend Him. They couldn't embrace the message that He taught. They couldn't embrace the fullness of what it was trying to tell them of that Son who was to lay down His life that they might have life. You see how easily we can have a word and comprehend it not? You see how easy it is for us to have light about us and yet by our own volition shut our eyes and not be able to see and stumble and fall in the ways of the world and walk in an unjust place and do those things and fall in the crag and the chasms because we haven't opened our eyes to the Word of God. Because it hasn't touched our hearts, it hasn't come alive within us, it doesn't burn, it is in first place within us, as we heard a testimony this morning. You know, I heard a testimony from Louise McIndoo about a month ago, or maybe it was a month and a half ago, and it really made me do some thinking. And she made the statement that sometimes when we're in the blackest part of our lives, we begin to see the greater light. And you know that's true. Sometimes when we're in the hardest parts of our life, if we look to the source of life from whence it came, we begin to see the light. We begin to allow that light to more influence our life and our thoughts and our hearts to the point that it's a deliverance. It's a deliverance of our soul and of our heart and of our mind from heartaches and trials and tribulations. It's that uplifting and that strength and the joy and the happiness that comes under the children of men that stabilizes the mind and the heart in the way that they should go. It's that whispers to them and tell them, I am here. It's that that whispers to them and lets you know that God is present and He's close to you. You know, we partook of the sacrament this day, and we partook of the sacrament for a reason. And it says that we would keep His commandments and always remember Him, that we would have His Spirit to be with us. And we have a right to that promise that His Spirit to be with us, to edify us and to lead us and to direct us. We have a right to lay hold of that promise by keeping the word, those commandments, to allow that Spirit to work freely within our lives. That not only does it uplift us and strengthen us and lay the burdens that we sometimes carry aside and give us that ability to do so, but it also gives us the ability to reach out to others and to help them. It makes our spiritual arm stronger for lifting others up. When we lay heed and lay hold unto that iron, that word of God, and apply it to our life, then it becomes evident. You know, it's just like our brother down there in Yucatan. I haven't been down there but once. But I'll tell you what, when I was down there, it only took me one time, and it only took me that long to go down there and to meet a brother that's an elder and evangelist in the church, Brother Palacido. And you don't have to be with him but just that long, and you can literally feel the Spirit of God with that man because he walks with love. He walks with a power of the Spirit that is evident. And you can feel it. You feel its presence. He doesn't have to approach you and embrace you and say, I love you, because you know it when he walks to you, because he can feel it, because he walks with that Spirit. He walks with that Spirit. He preaches with that Spirit. He teaches with that Spirit. He approaches the children of men with that Spirit of love. That's evident even before he speaks, because of the manner and the Spirit that walks with him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But as many as received that word, he gave them power. I want you to take notice. He didn't give them weakness. He gave them power. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, we might stop and think, well, yes, he walked with the children of men. He walked with Peter and James and John and Bartholomew. He walked with Simon. He walked with those different individuals, but he don't walk with us now. He's gone, but he does walk with us in the Spirit. He does walk with us in the Spirit. He does walk with us and enlighten our hearts and our minds. If we will send that invitation, he will be a constant companion in your life and mine. He does walk with us. He does walk with us, and we see the evidence and we feel the evidence of those things as we are faced by him. So oftentimes when we reach out unto him, we heard our sister bear testimony how that she has found that relief in him. You mean that he wasn't there? Yes, indeed he was there. He was there to bless her because she cried out. She reached out and he blessed her. She reached out and he heard that cry. And his ear is tuned to the cries of the children of men. Those who are sincere and honest at heart. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the Scriptures tells us that he came, and he told him, he says, I am the light and the life. And he is. That's the Word. That's the Word that we must lay hold to. You know, that communication, that promise, that message that it says the Word is, when you look up the definition of it, it's a promise, it's a message. And that Word that was with God, that came down and dwelt upon the children of men, became a mediator. Became one who was to petition for you to God the Father. He became a mediator. He became one who was between you and God the Father to proclaim unto God the Father your needs and your problems. And the trials that come upon the children of men. If we were to go over to the 1 John, and in 1 John in the 2nd chapter, I believe it is, beginning with the first verse, he says, My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What is an advocate? An advocate is one that petitions for you, a lawyer that pleads your case. That's what an advocate is. One that pleads your case, one that tries to bring out your needs unto the Father. Take notice, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the advocate between God the Father and man to petition God the Father in your behalf and mine. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? He that says he knows him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that are in him. Hereby we know that we are in Him, if we keep His commandments. Then if we keep His commandments, that love of God is perfected within us. How often have you and I prayed and asked the Lord, and earnestly have asked the Lord for the gift of charity, that gift of love that He says would be well with us if we're found with it at the last day would be in our hearts and minds. How often have we cried out to the Lord for that gift of charity that we would have for love for Him with all our might, mind, and strength? That we'd love all mankind as ourselves and love each brother and sister in the household of God. How often have we cried out unto Him for that? And He tells us that if we keep His commandments, then that love of God is perfected within us. And the commandments of God, we know the fruits of the Spirit is that love and happiness of forgiveness. That the fruits of the Spirit are those things that can be applied to our life that would allow that love to come to the surface and to reach out and to embrace the hearts of the children of men. It's that would put down all trials and tribulations and problems among the brothers and sisters in the household of God. It's that sets and smooths out the problems among the husbands and wives within the household of the bride of Christ. It's that stabilizes not only the homes and the body of Christ and members in particular, but it stabilizes the very being of he or she who possesses such. It stabilizes it. It sets it at power and of strength. It sets it to the position that they're receptive for the endowment of that Spirit of God that so dwells within them that they walk without fear, with the power to rebuke the adversary and walk with love among the children of men, even in all kinds of conditions. That power which is at your disposal and mine, if we will but reach out and take hold and be possessors and apply to our lives the commandments of God, that love would develop within us and be a reality within our hearts. On page 169 in the Book of Mormon, we find Jacob there in the second chapter of Jacob. We find that he approached the children of men with a very heavy heart, because he was going to have to rebuke them of the things that they were doing wrong. We find that he approached them with a heavy heart because he was going to have to rebuke them for the grosser errors in which they were doing at that time, such as they had more than one wife and they were committing whoredoms and they were doing the things that they were not supposed to do. And he was feeling bad that he had to approach him, and he was telling them there, he said that he called them together and they were looking for coming together. And boy, they were coming together, but they didn't think they were going to come together and have to take the rebuttal that they were going to get by the power of God, because the Spirit manifested unto him that he must direct those things unto the children of men. But I like specifically the 8th verse on page 169. It says, "And it supposeth me that they have come up hither to hear the pleasing word of God, yea, the word which healeth the wounded soul." I want you to know that it is the word that healeth the wounded soul. And you say to yourself, "Well, how is that word going to heal my soul?" It's the word that reaches out and says to you who will look to me, that if you've made mistakes and errors, you can approach me by the avenue of repentance and receive relief of heart and of mind. And receive, because of that avenue of repentance, a cleansing and a forgiveness from God the Father. It's the one that is capable of touching the hearts and opening the eyes that they might see more fully the way that God would have them to walk. That as they walk more fully in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they would be the recipients of a greater endowment of that Spirit to lead and to direct and to bless their life and to give them peace of heart and of mind. Yes, it's the healer of the soul. It's the healer of the souls of the children of men. Yet if they'll walk not with closed eyes so they can't see, but if they will open their eyes and direct their vision and single their eyes to the glory of God, and not single their eyes to the arm and the strength and the glory of man or of the world, but look to God and set their vision upon Him and recognize that in Him is that power of deliverance. In Him is the power to be relieved of the burdens and find rest for our souls, He tells us, ye who are heavy laden. That we can find rest for our souls. And that rest for our souls is not instituted and created and developed by the will and power of man, but it was instituted and created and developed by the will and the power of He who created man. And set in motion a way for man to return to Him. That set in motion a ladder, a pathway, a trail where one can walk. To walk and to gaze and to see and to look upon the face of God and not be ashamed and not want to hide and not want to call into the caves and pray for the rocks to fall upon them, but know that they have given Him their all. That know that they have walked fully with eyes wide open, endeavoring to walk complete in the path that God has set before them to reach the goal, to reach the object, to reach the point which God has given each individual to walk therein. To know that they have done their best. You know, in Hebrews, he tells us something about that word that's it's just very important. I'd like to go down now to the 4th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm going to read just the 12th verse. He says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." The word of God is quick and powerful. And when we have reached out from time to time with that sincere and honest heart, when we have approached Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, have we not seen the evidence of the quickness of God to hear? Have we not seen the evidence of that power to touch and deliver the hearts of the children of men, to edify their hearts and their minds, to heal their sickness, not only of the flesh, but of the soul and of the mind, to give them a courage and a strength to look at tomorrow, to look at tomorrow with the idea that they shall be conquerors, not conquerors in sin, but conquerors in righteousness. Conquerors because they have learned to hold on to the hand of God and allow Him to direct their footsteps, allow Him to direct their lives, allowed Him to put the motivation that is within them in the way that is suited for the things of righteousness. Because as you and I walk, with the light where we can close our eyes and not see it, as equally we can lay hold to a shovel and dig a hole in the wrong place. And as equally we could take the energy that we have and put it in one direction and have it be opposite of what God would have us to do. But through that directing power of the Word of God and the Spirit that comes of a sound mind and of strength, that individual directs the lives and the minds and the heart and the footsteps of those who believe and cry out and seek Him and His will. It puts it that their energies is put towards the direction of righteousness and towards the direction of eternal life with God the Father. It sets that power in motion towards righteousness that people might see and understand, of edification and knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that energy is expounded and put during the direction and the strength in the way that God would have it to go. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want you to know that. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Word of God. It allows you to discern those things of right and wrong. It allows you to be able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart to whether they are of God and of worth unto the children of men, or if there are those things that were created and developed by the desires of man and the adversary and would be a destroyer of men. If they would bear fruit of righteousness that was fit as manna for souls to eat, or whether it would be that which would be a thistle, or that which would have bear no fruit. That it is that discerner. It is that which allows the thought and the intents of the heart to be placed upon the one who created them and the source and power from which their strength and power shall come. That's the Word of God. That it divides asunder the doubts of the children of men. And you know, so oftentimes this is the way we walk. We walk with one foot in the world and the other in Christ. But if we're to walk in the manner in which we're to walk, we cannot be separated. We cannot be separated. We have such a habit. We have such a habit to want to hold on to the Word, but yet to hold on to the philosophies and the rudiments of men and their wisdom and understanding rather than that of God. And so often we're so quick to listen to the words of man rather than the Word of God and that Word that came down and was made flesh unto the children of men, but yet we'll look at the world and we'll look at the wisdom of the world and the things that they are doing, and by the miraculous wisdom of man they work on your heart and they have brain surgery and they put men to walk on the moon, and all those things was created by the individual that created the man that walked on the moon. All of them. Everyone. Yes, it's stronger, more powerful, and more sharp to cut, to pull asunder those things of the world, to separate out of one's life those things that would destroy them. It's like a two-edged sword. It has the power. It has the power to give a man to be a new man, a new creature, with new ideas and with new thoughts, with new hopes and new desires, with a new burst of energy for righteousness. That it cuts asunder the doubts that has to many times flee into the hearts of the children of men and their thought. It separates them And it says, here's the way. This is the rod. Hold on to it. It's the one that travels to the tree of life. That word, that when it's born in the hearts of the children of men, is even as Jacob said, it's the healer of a wounded soul. That very word. The healer of a wounded soul. You know, in Luke, in the 8th chapter, about the 21st verse, this is the place where there were those when Jesus was teaching unto the multitudes of people. There were his disciples that came to him and said, Lord, he says, thy mother and brother are outside. And he says, they desire to speak with thee. And the Lord looked at him and he said unto the multitude of people, he said unto them and he answered and he says unto them, my mother and my brother, are these which hear the word of God and do it. He was telling them that those who were near and close unto him, like his mother and his brother, were those who would hear the word of God and would do it. That's what he was telling them. Those who would hear the word of God and would do it. And you know, he was loved of his mother and his brethren, and he loved his mother and his brothers and his sisters. And if they wanted to come into that position of that closeness, was those who would hear the word of God and do it. Now you know, across the face of the world today, some people only go with just one hand. Did you ever tie a hand behind you? Try to just work all the time with just one hand? Tie one behind you and try it sometime. Try to button up your blouse or your pants. Or try to do things that you usually do that you're used to using two hands with and see if you don't have problems with doing it. And all over the face of the world, the children of men go with one hand and one arm. They don't use the both of them at their disposal. They go with only one record of the word. And not with the witnesses of that record to edify the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They go just half armed with the word. Half-armed with the world goes as an overall picture. Very few of them have come to the realization that it says, thus saith the Lord God, they shall be one in my hand. Very few across the nation of the earth today has come to that realization that God said that they shall be one in my hand. That's the important part of the Word of God, is to believe those things in which He has caused to be written and apply them to our lives. Remember what He says in the 14th chapter of St. John? He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And you know, we're told in the 3rd chapter of Matthew's, we're told there that when they were speaking, when Christ was speaking and he was approached, When he was approached there in Matthew by the power of the adversary, by the devil himself, and that as he comes unto him there in Matthew, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, he tells them, he says, but he answered and he said, proceedeth out, but by every man shall not written bread alone of God. Is that what he said? Do you realize how important it is to read the Word as it is written? That God has established in His wisdom and understanding the way that it should be written for the edification of the children of men. And when we begin to hamper or turn or add to or change or switch around words, we begin to have problems. And what I just read to you is this. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But those words, when they were pinned like the Master delivered them, so you and I could understand, pinned so we would readily be able to know of those things, that we could recognize immediately the teachings of those things and know that they are true. Yes, that very reason why He has caused them to be brought forth unto you and I, that very reason. I'd like to turn over to page 679 in the Book of Mormon. Now I'm going to read this for a closing scripture. You heard that, didn't you, Jim? I got more, but I'm going to quit now. I'm going to read the 47th and the 48th verses. He says, for whosoever receiveth not the words of Jesus and the words of those whom He has sent, receive not Him. And therefore He will not receive them at the last day. And it would be better for them if they had not been born. For do we suppose that ye can get rid of the justice of an offended God who hath been trampled under the feet of men, that thereby salvation might come? Do we think that we can come and trample the words of God under our feet and not take hold of them? To use them to suit our pleasures and to jockey them around to fit our ways and our needs? Do we feel like that we can lay some out and take some and not accept some and set the others aside and trample them under our feet and walk fully with the endowment of the Spirit that is promised? No, we cannot. If we begin to switch the words, how would you know that He said, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? How would you know? That's why it's so important that we as a people and the nations of the earth hear, not my word, but hear the word of God. Not my understanding, but the understanding from on high. For there comes the wisdom and the knowledge. There comes the truth that saves the souls of the children of men, and like He said in Jacob, that heals the soul. That heals the soul. And I want to tell everyone in this room tonight, before I close, that that word is at our disposal. That each promise in that word, bar none, is yours and mine to lay hold to. I mean that. If we want to. If we don't want to walk in the light with our eyes closed, or walk with one foot in the world and one in Christ, if we want to lay hold to those things, each promise that has been labeled for the children of men is at your disposal and mine if we want to lay hold to them. But it takes a requirement. It takes a requirement of a dedication on your part and mine. It takes a requirement of a real desire to want to know the truth and to live it. It takes a real desire within us to call out in the cry of the Lord for understanding. It takes time. Time that sometimes and so oftentimes we don't give. You know, there is a thief of time. And that thief of time so often is the pleasures of the world. Because it robs an individual of the time that they should give in study of the Word. It robs the individual of the time that they should give in visiting with the Lord. It robs the individual of the time of the joy that they would have if they were to visit the home of another brother and sister and just have conversation one with another. It robs them of their time if they rob themselves when they don't come into this chapel, where they can come and meet with the brothers and sisters in the gospel bond of Christ. It's that robs the hearts of the children of men and separates them from the power and the Word of God. And it's the frills of the world. It's the enticing things of the world that separates an individual's heart and mind and allows them or entices them to put more time in things of the world rather than in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you stop and think for a minute. Look about you. See all your brothers and sisters? How often do you go visit them? Do you know I live around a whole bunch of them right here, and to get over and visit with them at their home, I do very little. It seems like that every time I turn around, my old life and the time that I have seems to be eat up from one way or another, either overhauling cars or some crazy thing. It seemed like I never have time to do anything. I visit with my brother Dwayne because he and I ride to work together, and I enjoy that. But to really get over and to visit with those who are across the fence and jump over there and visit with Brian. I holler at him over the fence, pet his dog through the fence. Watch his quail and listen to them call in the morning. But you know, if we're going to approach and if we're going to go forward in the gospel of Christ and in that Word, it's because we're going to give it time. We've got to set aside time in our lives for the Lord. We've got to set aside times in our life for study of the Word, for heeding the Word. We've got to set that time in our life of dedication. If we go to school and the school that says we're going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, the teachers expect you to be there at 8 o'clock. And if you aren't, you're marked tardy. And if you get enough of them, you go either see the principal or you're dropped out. How much time do we as an individual have decided within our hearts and our minds that we would give God each day? How much have we allotted to God? How much? No one can answer that but you. How much time have each of us here tonight, how much time have we decided that we will allot to God each day? And do we keep that promise? You see, that's something that we must do each day. is see that we're allot time to God, that we allot time to work and to study and come to the knowledge of that word that heals the souls. The word that heals the souls of the children of men.
Let's remember the announcements, but more than that, let's remember this day those who have asked an interest in our prayers, those who so much need the help that only our Father in Christ can give. Let us keep them in our mind when we are ready for our rest this night. Let's take time to dwell on those things that are for our loved ones, spiritual welfare, and their physical welfare also. Will you open your books to number 135?